Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome in there, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. Happy Sports Daily to you. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you. Max Power back with us today. Glad to have Max back. He's taking your calls at 869-1240. For those of you listening to us on KFH, that's an easy way to get in touch with us. If you're watching us on our video streams on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube X, you can leave video comments there and we can get those out over the air. Or if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, you can leave us voice messages, and we can get to those on the air as well. Thanks for being here with us as we get the full slate of baseball back, which means the Royals are back in action tonight for Jack Caglione's home opener. We still wait another day for the NBA Finals, and we'll continue to try to navigate and make sense of all these college athletic changes and dig into what might mean. Felix Johnson, our Chiefs insider, kind of turns into our NFL insider during the offseason. Will also be a part of the program today. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, happy Tuesday. Good to have Royals baseball back tonight. Looking forward to the home debut for Jack Caglione. And, you know, I know we've got a lot to get into with that specifically and what the expectations are for him. And not to be overshadowed by the opponent, the Yankees coming to town. It's a premier opponent for the Royals and definitely a crucial series for them.
It is going to be a big week for the Royals, one way or the other. You know, we'll dig into this, but man, the Yankees are good. It's the excitement of the Cags debut, but you know, pretty soon here, Tommy, probably after this week or maybe even after this series, we're not really going to care about that anymore. And it's going to be more about do the Royals win or lose games, because there is there's quite a race going on right now in the American League. As we are at June 10th, we're more than a third of the way through the season. We're getting closer to halfway through the season. And there are some things that tell us that it is going to be difficult to reach the postseason this year. So we'll get into all of that throughout the show today. We'll also have your chances to win some prizes. We will continue our giveaway of rounds of golf at Crestview Country Club. Great supporters of this show. You will have a chance to get out there and play with a buddy. Round for two in a cart included at Crestview on Us. We'll give you the details on how you can enter that contest a little bit later. And then, of course, as always, how you can win some HTO iced tea as the weather is getting hotter. Never been a better time for iced tea. How's your Monday night? There was really nothing on. I threw on the Blue Jays game because my son's T-ball team is the Blue Jays. And so he was pretty fired up to see the Blue Jays. It was pretty bare bones last night. Max was watching hockey. I know that.
Yeah, the Braves were on, so I watched a little bit of that. Okay. They finally won. They had lost like 10 games in a row. It had not been good for them. So they finally won against the Brewers, which was good. And then we watched a brand new show on Apple TV. My wife and I did. Have you heard of Stick before? Came out on Apple TV. Owen Wilson is the lead character. And he plays a washed up golf professional who discovers a young kid that is a like prodigy at the game of golf, and so he tries to like take him under his wing. And so it's a comedy, pretty good. It kind of reminds me of like a Ted Lasso, you know, like a comedy, okay. a good guy, kind of like wholesome type comedy. But and I like Owen Wilson, and it's about golf.
Oh, yeah.
So I was a big fan of that.
All right. Well, I will have to look into that. We are looking for a show. Maybe that could be the show. Yeah. Is it critically acclaimed? Are we that point yet? Do we know?
I don't know. I don't really care. I like it. That's really all that matters to me.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, what? I don't know. Yeah. How would I even know something like that? It's like, do I hear people talking in the office about it?
For me, if it's a show that is not critically acclaimed, I'm probably going to like it. If like everybody hates it or thinks it's lame or stupid, I'll probably be a fan.
No, I don't know, but I don't know if I see, like, I use, like, the, and I guess I'm not talking about the internet. I'm talking more about, like, are people liking it? Because, like, that's how I kind of feel out engaged. But then at the same time, like, a lot of people in the office are telling me about stupid reality dating shows. And I'm like, well, I know I'm not going to like that. But usually if it's a show, it's like, oh, that's how I found out about Severance. Like people were like, oh man, the Severance show, and I watched that. So I use that crowdsourcing a little bit. Otherwise, I wouldn't even know what's on TV.
Have you seen the trailer for the new Happy Gilmore movie coming out in July on Netflix?
I saw it a while ago, unless there's a new one, but I was confused. I thought it already came out. Is it going straight to streaming? It's not going to theaters?
No, it's going to Netflix in July. Okay. There's a new, like a full-length trailer that came out, I think, last week. It looks pretty awesome. And you know what? It's Happy Gilmore. So, like, it's going to be, there are going to be some, you know, stupid things in it for sure. It's Adam Sandler, but they're like Rory McIlroy's in it, Bryson DeChambeau's in it, Scottie Scheffler's in it. And then, of course, like the normal cast of characters from Happy Gilmore and Adam Sandler movies. So, I think, you know, like there's a bunch of cameos in it. Should be pretty good.
Let me ask you this question. Because all those guys are in it, and of course they're in it because they love the movie and grew up with the movie just like we did. What do you think had the bigger impact on the popularity of golf, Happy Gilmore or Tiger Woods?
Probably Tiger Woods. I mean, for golf fans, definitely Tiger, because nobody had ever seen anything like that before. Happy Gilmore, don't get me wrong, for people our age, like as a comedy and as like a favorite movie, that ranks up at the top for a lot of people around our age. But as far as like an overall cultural impact on golf, absolutely Tiger Woods.
I think you're right, but I mean, I think it's close. I think Happy Gilmore, there was about a 5-6, I mean, even 10-year stretch probably, where if you were playing golf and you were under the age of, I don't know, 30 or 40, you were trying a Happy Gilmore shot. Like you didn't leave that course without giving it a run on the, you know,
don't you still do that? I mean, I feel like that's a normal part of your
routine. I haven't in a while, cause I'm afraid I would pull a muscle. But yeah, I mean, that was the way to go. That was what you did. You know, speaking of golf, you know, in Crestview, we appreciate Crestview. I'm going to head out there to try to squeeze in 6 or 7 holes today. You know, I probably need to bring an extra pair of pants.
Why?
In case I get a hole in one.
Ah, that's a good dad joke. Max was not ready for the rim shot there.
Yeah, I was inspired by Jason, who left us a message, and he said his computer was freezing cold this morning, and he realized it's because he left the windows open.
Ah,
get it? Windows, like
Windows, yeah, like Windows,
Windows
11,
the operating system.
Yeah, Windows 11.
Yeah. That was, or 10. Doesn't matter.
That was a good.
Oh, boy.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate that. Appreciate the participation there on that. All right. When we come back, what do you guys think? Because that just popped into my head as Tommy brought up Happy Gilmore, because I think Tiger Woods is as impactful an athlete as ever been. What do you think had a bigger impact, Tiger Woods or the Happy Gilmore movie on the game of golf? Let us know. You can leave us video comments. You can call us. You can do whatever you want. But I'm curious to hear what people think. Maybe I'll put a poll up on that during the break here to get a gauge of things. But when we come back, we'll be talking baseball because the Royals are back in action tonight against the Yankees, the hated Yankees. You love to hate the Yankees, and you get it back. It's the Cags' home debut. That ballpark's going to be electric tonight. You know it will be. And it's going to be good listening. It's going to be good watching. We can't wait for it. We'll preview that series next. It's Sports Daily on a Tuesday. Don't go away.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back. everybody, in the spirit of our Crestview giveaway, which we will give you the details on later in the show, we have a golf question for you. What had the bigger impact on the game of golf, Tiger Woods or Happy Gilmore? Dad says, I don't think two things have happened as simultaneously as these two for growing a sport. I probably agree with that. Early voting so far, Tiger Woods has a lead, but we are just getting out of the gates with that poll. I have that poll up on my Twitter, which is at KWCH Jacob. We'll get that retweeted out to the KFH page shortly. But that's it. Look, I think it's an interesting question. I think both things inspired different people to give it a try. I think here's what I think both of them did such a big thing for is introducing golf to a different population. You know, Happy Gilmore introduced golf to people who were probably like, golf, that's boring, whatever, whatever. And of course, Tiger Woods introduced it to an entirely different type of person all across the world. It's interesting. And they did kind of come up at the same time. I think Happy Gilmore was probably first, right? Maybe.
Yeah. Happy Gilmore, I think, came out in 96. And Tiger really made his, like, really jumped on in 97 was kind of when that's when he won the Masters and really took things over.
Yeah. So that question's up for you. We'll check in on that throughout the show here. You can participate with it. Look, we're having discussions like that because it is that time of year where things really kind of just go into cruise control for a little while.
What was it for you? Was it Happy Gilmore or was it Tiger Woods?
Happy Gilmore, probably. Happy Gilmore. I think Tiger transformed the game, but I don't know. Man, and it's probably just because, you know, I wasn't a young kid, a minority who had never really thought about golf before, which I think Tiger Woods really opened the door to an entirely new population. I was a kid who kind of felt the way Happy Gilmore represented about golf. Like, I knew how to go play in like a par three or like just a real laid back atmosphere. And it always did feel a little bit unattainable. And I think both of those gaps were bridged a little bit by both that movie and Tiger Woods. I really do. Like, it was like, oh, you know what? This is fun. And then, you know, the crowds that he would draw and bring into it. But man, Tiger Woods, like, everybody was interested in what Tiger Woods was doing. Everybody, like, there are so many people that never would have picked up a golf club if it wasn't for Tiger Woods.
I'm one of them. I mean, for me, it was Tiger. It wasn't Happy Gilmore, and it's a great movie. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love it, but it was Tiger. Nobody in my family played golf really. And I didn't, like, I remember going out to the backyard. I had like range balls and a baseball bat, and I was pretending to hit golf balls because of Tiger. Like, it was cool. It was what, like, people were talking about at school around the lockers. They were talking about Tiger Woods in 1997, 1998. So for me, it was all because of Tiger and Nike and just the whole like branding marketing thing around him. For me, that's what did it.
Yeah, it makes sense because it was that way. And then you had the video game, right? Which, right, I think was pretty impactful for people. But yeah, it's an interesting one. I think they did different things for the game. I think Happy Gilmore loosened it up a little bit. Like, hey, like, you know, because Tiger Woods didn't loosen it up at all. Like, Tiger Woods is very serious about golf. Tiger Woods is more like Shooter McGavin, of course, than Happy Gilmore. Like, John Daly is Happy Gilmore. John Daly is Happy Gilmore. Like, that's why he's so popular. Like, this naturally gifted athlete who can hit it a mile, who does not seem to take it very seriously. Like, that's John Daly. That's not Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is very much Shooter McGavin. So I think it, like, in different ways they impacted it. Happy Gilmore, I just related with that attitude towards it. And yeah, it was fun.
By the way, Shooter McGavin is in the new Happy Gilmore movie. He's
you follow
making
him
appearance
on social media.
I do, yeah.
He is. Man, I really do. Just, I appreciate the smart asses.
And I love the actor, by the way. I love the actor, Christopher McDonald. He's a great actor. Yeah. I don't know. This is a really obscure movie, and I don't know if you ever watched it when you were a kid, but the movie remake of Leave It to Beaver, did you ever watch that? And Christopher McDonald plays the dad. And I watched that. I had the VHS version of that. I wore that tape out watching that when I was a kid. And he played the dad in the movie remake of Leave It to Beaver. Of course, he was Shooter McGavin. I mean, he's done a bunch of different things, but love that actor.
So here's my question about that actor, that social media page. Is that the actor running that page?
No, I think it's a X account that somebody else runs. Yeah, the actor himself doesn't. I don't believe he runs that page.
I don't know. I see like it'll post pictures of him at like events and stuff. So I don't know. Either way, it's a funny account because he's a smart aleck. There are those accounts out there that are strictly just for, and I appreciate that. Like, Pat, have you followed Pat Sajak? Like, Pat Sajak is a total smartass X. Or yeah. Was. I don't know if he still is on there or not.
Just a quick Google search says that he does not personally run the official Shooter McGavin account. He's got his own personal account, his own content, but that character's X account is not ran by him.
Well, that's good. That's good. Interesting. But he's, you know, the movie's out. I can't wait to see the movie. I mean, it's probably those sorts of follow-up movies don't typically go very well. Maybe this one will. I doubt it, but it'll be fine, right? Like, do we care if it's really that good of a movie?
No. It's the nostalgia. That's the important thing. Like, it could be... It could be not good at all, and I don't know if I would particularly care.
Yeah, I don't think I will either. I don't think I'll care. But you can vote on the poll. Bigger impact on the sport of golf, Happy Gilmore or Tiger Woods.
A better poll Tiger would Woods. Have been better movie, Caddyshack or Happy Gilmore.
That's a good poll. That's a good question.
That is
right
a
there.
Good poll. Yeah, that's a good poll. Caddyshack was a great movie. I love that movie. It was a generation earlier, yeah. I think, at least one.
That's a generational question because they're both great movies, and I love both of them. You know, as much as I like Caddyshack a lot, I'm a little young for Caddyshack. So I would probably go Happy Gilmore over Caddyshack, but I completely appreciate what Caddyshack is.
Yeah. I didn't get to Caddyshack until... later. Happy Gilmore was a cultural phenomenon for my generation. It's a little bit different, I think, and harder to track probably. But you know, it's an interesting question. I think Caddyshack probably deserves a seat at that table. I assume it does. I don't know. I mean, you tell us, Max, did it have like, was every kid that you knew obsessed with that movie?
Yes. Not just because of Rodney, lacy underalls.
It's stacked, right? Like it's a stacked cast from Rodney Dangerfield and Chevy Chase and Bill Murray. And I mean, it's a loaded cast. And it's just a great movie.
It's a more loaded cast than Happy Gilmore.
I think the difference is like for like our generation, Happy Gilmore is, like you mentioned, a cultural phenomenon and all of that. Caddyshack, I think you can appreciate as just really like a really good movie. Like it's funny, it's smart, it's like all Happy Gilmore is dumb Adam Sandler, right? Like that's and Caddyshack is you're talking like a little bit more almost intellectual with like Chevy Chase in there and all of that. But you've got
Schmales. Don't forget Judge Smales.
Yeah, absolutely.
Set what was young his people name? To the gas chamber.
What was Didn't his name? Ted Knight played Judge Smales. Yeah, that's. I mean, it's a great movie.
I got to go back. I haven't watched that movie in years and years.
Now, Caddyshack 2, on the other hand, is a disaster.
That's
a flat out. You want to talk about remakes? That's a horrible movie. That's
like, the remakes don't normally go well. Dumb and Dumber is my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, the remake was awful.
I don't know that I ever even watched the fake remake or the fake second one.
Yeah, that
they didn't
I did.
Have the right actors.
I did. I remember watching that. That was bad.
But then they did bring back the actors remake it. It doesn't work.
It wasn't like, good.
I those kinds of movies, like they wouldn't even work. If that movie, Dumb and Dumber, as it stands, came out today, it wouldn't be popular. Yet it was, to me, the greatest movie of all time. And like, Happy Gilmore, if it came out now, like you just can't ever replicate what you had. So this one, I will make this guess as far as those sorts of things, The Hangover 2 is another example of where it just doesn't work. The Hangover 3 wasn't that bad. But, like, I think Happy Gilmore 2 will be better than those. I do.
I would agree
I think it'll. I think it'll be better than most of these remakes. It's not going to be, like, great. It won't be that good. It won't be as good as the original. It won't even be close. But I'll bet it's better than a lot of these, which are total whiffs.
As long
because
as you
it
know,
feel forced.
Right. As long as you know what you're watching before you start watching it. Like, it's the nostalgia of it. It's the following up of these characters. You're not going to, I'm not going to go into watching Happy Gilmore 2 and think like, oh, this is going to be an amazing piece of cinema. Right. Like, that's not why you're watching it. I will tell you that I'm pretty excited about Julie Bowen being back in the movie, you know, Happy Gilmore's love interest, and she played the mom in Modern Family. And she's back. She's beautiful. I'm just gonna say that. Yeah. So I'm excited about that. I'm glad that she's back.
It took me a long time to even piece that together. I don't know why, because yeah. I love that movie. It's one of my favorite shows ever. But I guess because there was such a gap there. She's back, of course. Chubbs is no longer with us.
Right, but there is a Chubbs, I believe it's Chubbs' son, I think, is in it, at least from the trailer I watched.
Isn't Tiger Woods in the movie somehow?
I don't know. I don't think he was in the trailer. Okay. Ben Stiller is back in the movie, which is great and fantastic because he was in the original. Remember, he plays the nursing home guy. The grandma goes and like stays
like,
in.
What has been
so he's back in the movie doing something. I mean, he was in the trailer, so
he's excellent in that movie. I forgot about him being in there. Man, he was really good. Yeah. Is the big guy, you know, Play It Where It Lies shooter? Is he in there?
I don't know. I know that there's a heckler character, and I'm not gonna ruin who the heckler character is. You'll have to go watch the trailer, and it's like a split second in the trailer, and I had to go back and watch it again. I'm like, is that who I thought it was? And sure enough, it was. So you'll have to go watch the trailer. The guy that plays the heckler. Yeah,
I know I saw it, but I got to watch it again. I got confused. I thought the movie had already been released and was just getting to streaming. No. I'm like, man, how did I miss that? Straight to streaming. I wonder why they didn't put that one in theater.
Comes out mid-July, I believe.
Okay. All right. It's July. I did see that yesterday, but I thought that was the release to streaming, and it had already been out, and maybe I missed it.
Jason leaves another comment. He's correct. Travis Kelsey's in the movie too, so he's in the trailer. So you see, Travis Kelsey in the trailer.
Of course he is. It's going to be great. I can't wait for it. Maybe we all just have such low expectations that we'll enjoy it no matter what it is, but.
If you like golf shows, I'm kind of going back to the very beginning. Check out Stick on Apple TV.
I need to.
It's Owen Wilson. It's really good.
I'm gonna forget that. You'll have to text me later. I'll definitely forget that. That's a thing. As we're looking for it, I'm trying to make it through my Cheers watch through. I've been derailed from that the last few days, but that's gonna take a long time. So I think I can mix in another show. Is Stick something my wife would like? We need a show.
My wife and I watched it last night. I'm sure you guys are a Ted Lasso family.
My wife can be very stubborn, and I have told her about 8 billion times that she would love Ted Lasso, because who wouldn't love Ted Lasso? She won't watch it.
Really?
She's just like, man. And I'm like, seriously, like, I'm not kidding. Like, literally everybody loves this movie for the right reason. Like, they're all, everybody's correct. It's great. You'll love it. And it's just like, yeah. Drives me insane.
Give this one a try. It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. And if she likes this one, maybe I can get her to watch it. I still haven't watched the third season of Ted Lasso, by the way. Mm. Aren't they doing a fourth too?
They are.
I never got around to it, and I need to do that also. That's what I should be watching. I need to do. Is the third season good?
It's great. In fact, like, okay. I felt like the series ended just the way that it should, where you didn't necessarily need a fourth season. It all kind of got wrapped up nicely, and then all of a sudden they announced there's a fourth, and I'm like, okay. I mean, like, I'm not complaining because it's a great show, but yeah. I thought they had wrapped up the show pretty nicely after three.
Yeah, I remember the end of the second season. I definitely wanted to see what happened. I'll have to try to.
If you want to know, I'm looking up. You mentioned, like, critically acclaimed, you know, type shows. So Stick has an 80% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So I kind of
is that by the people or by the critics?
That's by the critics.
What do the people say?
I don't
usually I agree with the people. I usually agree with the people.
You don't agree with the critics?
Not usually. No. Listen. Sometimes I do. Like, I don't mind paying attention to it. But if I ever watch another Oscar movie,
okay, it'll so be 80, a cold it's day. 80% for both. 80% okay. by the critics, 80% by the public.
It'll be a cold day, and you know what, before I watch another Oscar movie because it's critically acclaimed. I am still so angry that it was right after COVID, I think. And we hadn't been to a movie in forever, and we had young kids, and we finally figured out, I don't even remember how we did it. It's like, we're going to go see a movie. Somebody was like, oh, you got to see this Oscar, nominated for an Oscar. It was something, licorice something. It was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Licorice and I was so pizza. Mad, and I'm still so
licorice
mad.
What?
Licorice pizza. It used to be a record store.
Horrible.
Oh, I've never
horrible
seen
horrible movie. No offense to anybody involved with the making of that film, but what a horrible waste of time and money. And I was so angry, and I can't remember the last time where it wasn't like, you know, a major blockbuster that happens to get nominated for like sound effects that I've liked any of those damn movies. Like, no, I want to know what the people think, not what the critics think.
You're a man of the people. So it makes sense.
That's it. Maybe I'm too simple minded to understand why these are good movies. I ever tell you about film class in college?
No.
I've got pent up energy about this. So I have to take I'm a mass communications major. One of the classes in there, I don't even remember if this was required or if it was an elective or what. It was film, something about film. I don't even remember what it was called. But I get in there and everyone's, you know, film snobs is like, you know, do you watch a movie or do you watch a film? I watch a movie, right? I'm team movie. And so everyone's going around the room and they're like, oh, and then what, you know, what's your favorite? And everyone's naming all these movies. And I'm like, oh, Dumb and Dumber. And everyone laughs. Like, yeah, okay, that's a bad movie. That can't be your favorite movie. I was like, who the hell are you to tell me what my favorite movie is? I think it's my favorite movie. What's wrong with that? And so we go around there and we used to have to sit and watch these dumb movies in that class.
I took a history of the cinema class in college as well. There were some good, like, I actually really like Citizen Kane. Genuinely,
I'm sure I would. Really we didn't watch Citizen Kane. I don't know the names of these movies we watched. It was probably that year's like Oscar noms or whatever. Yeah. And I'm just like, these are so boring.
I don't get me wrong. I love Dumb and Dumber also, but there's a difference between it being your favorite movie and the greatest movie of all time.
I didn't say it was the greatest. You did earlier. I said it was my favorite movie.
You did earlier. You said you think the greatest movie is Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, what do I think? Right. What do I think it is?
Because I love Dumb and Dumber. It's not the greatest movie of all time. I love it.
It's my favorite movie. Sure, to me, totally it's fine. The greatest movie because it's my favorite movie. And like you can't, like, that's not allowed. You can't think that. And I'm like, God, you're so, like, I can promise you more people agree with me than whatever dumb movie that nobody's ever seen before that you're talking about. I don't need all of that. I just want to go be entertained. Like, I want Top Gun. I want Star Wars. I want, you know, I don't mind a good superhero movie every once in a while. We will have Felix Johnson in the next hour. He will join the show as he does on Tuesdays this time of year. He's our Chiefs insider. We kind of turn him into our NFL insider because, honestly, like, the Chiefs, we were talking about this yesterday with Rachel Hallam in the office. It's just like, it's a weird June for the Chiefs. We don't have anything happening with them that we're even really wondering about. I mean, we all need to see how left tackle plays out, but that's kind of it right now. Like, they brought everything back. Everything's kind of repeating from a year ago. That we think they'll come into the year and be healthy. And then we're just like, we're just kind of waiting. They're going through the motions. That's a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing for the Chiefs. It's not necessarily a good thing for us, I suppose, but it's a good thing for them.
Oh, I love it. I love the fact that, I mean, we've had dramatic off seasons, I think, for the last couple of years where there's been a lot that's happened. And really, that's not the case right now. I mean, you go back a couple of years ago and you've got the Chris Jones holdout, and that went through the entire off season. And then you've had Rashee Rice's drama and issues last off season. There have been other things that have happened too. But it's nice to kind of have things just be quiet, you know, and not a lot of drama. And, you know, you get ready for training camp and you get ready for preseason and all of that. You don't have to worry about a whole lot of drama, which is good.
And, you know, Trey Smith is probably not going to be at OTAs, but it doesn't sound like there's any reason that should be concerning. Very different. Trey Smith has not had that first big contract yet, but on the tag, he's going to make more money this individual season probably than he would with a long-term deal anyway. So I think it's more about just like, technically speaking, guys don't like to go play on a tag because there is injury risk, right? And so, and I get it. I don't think they should either, to be perfectly honest with you. You have to only do what's required because your injury risk is too high. Like you can't, it's too big a risk to take. So I don't think there's any expectation for animosity with that. We'll see it get done. I mean, we can ponder whether or not we think they'll sign him long-term over time. I don't think we know the answer to that question yet. I don't think, you know, they're apparently working on a deal. I think the deadline on that is mid-July sometime. I don't think they're going to do one. I don't know why the Chiefs would do a deal long-term now. They need to get through this season for me and like evaluate what, you know, what is the priority? Is it him? Is it Karlaftis? Is it McDuffie? Maybe it's two of those three. I'm not sure it can be two of those three, but we'll keep an eye on that. We'll talk to Felix about that in the next hour as we talk a little football. Right now, let's talk some baseball, Tommy. The Royals, they get back at it here. We know it's the Yankees. We do have like pitcher line matchups outlined in this. It's, of course, the Cags debut, which once that is behind us, I do think that will settle in and become less of a thing. But it will be a big thing tonight. And tonight, it's Max Fried and Noah Cameron, which should be electric, right? It looks like from what we saw yesterday, Fried is moving up because I believe when I had last checked, Fried was supposed to be the Tuesday or the Wednesday starter. Now he's starting tonight, I believe. But they do miss Rodon, which is good for the Royals, and the Royals get their best three pitchers at the moment going in this series. Let's go. Like, I am fired up for this series. It should be awesome.
Yeah, you're probably, I mean, I'm trying to think of other lefties in the American League. I think that between these two teams, you've got the three best left-handed pitchers in the American League going at it in two different nights. You've got Fried and Cameron tonight, and then Chris Bubich on the bump tomorrow for the Royals. I mean, are there any better lefties in the American League?
I mean, Reagan's he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Right. that's what's interesting is we're not talking about him in that conversation. I don't think anybody was seeing that coming before this season started. No, I don't know. Not off the top of my head. I can't think of it.
I mean, I guess, Tarek Skubal is a lefty. So, I mean,
he's a lefty. Yeah
so he's going to be up there too. But you're talking about some of the best lefties in the American League going at it. Number one tonight and then Bubich tomorrow night. This is, you know, every matchup has been a major test for Noah Cameron, but especially tonight when you're going up against a guy who is, you know, right now probably the front runner for the AL Cy Young in Max Fried, that ERA under two, bunch of strikeouts, an 8-1 record for a team that is 15 games over 500. I mean, he's the front runner right now for the Cy Young. And then you've got Cameron, who has jumped in and has had as good of a start as we've seen ever in Major League Baseball through his first six starts. So you have to go all the way back to the 1800s to find a guy that has got off to the kind of start pitching that Noah Cameron has. It's a huge test tonight in a Tuesday night game at Kauffman Stadium. I would imagine that for the rookie, the nerves are going to be big. I mean, things are going to be flowing when you know who you're going up against for the Yankees.
I mean, you think they would be, but that moment hasn't captured him yet. Like, that's it's almost the most impressive thing about his start to this year is it's just none of this seems that big a deal for him. Boy, I wish I had a crystal ball on Noah Cameron. I'll tell you that. Like, I wish that I could know what he's going to be. Right now, the Royals can just enjoy it. Right now, you're really, really, really happy that he's there doing it. Because we were real close to this, you know, to being a lot of questions in the rotation with Lorenzen struggling a little bit, and he was much better in his last start. Hopefully that continues. But if Reagans is injured or just coming back down to earth, maybe I think it's probably more injury related. They would have had some issues here, and it's what we talked about before the season. Like, what are the chances that last year can be duplicated? And I've always thought it was low because the last year was, I mean, it was, you're fortunate when you have a year in the rotation go the way that they had it go last year, and we're seeing it unravel a little bit, relative terms, right? Like, they still have a great rotation, but not like it was last year. And I don't think they can afford to lean on it like they did last year. It's going to have to mean, it means the offense has got to be better. It means the bullpen's got to be better too. And right now the bullpen's been banged up. So they're going to have to get through it. The good news is the offense is picking it up a little bit, at least for a week. Best week they've had all season last week. Cags is at home now, and maybe we'll see that continue. Vinny Pasquantino yesterday just won the American League Player of the Week nod. He has been absolutely on fire lately. He did this last year too, Tom. It just took him longer to get there. Maybe he's just a streaky player, but you know, they don't need those streaks. They can't afford those streaks to last as long as they did to open the season for him. But you want to talk about getting things turned around in a hurry. He's been out of his mind lately, and they'll need him to be out of his mind, I assume, again in this series.
100%. I hope that he is given some support around him in the lineup, because he's been incredibly productive, but they need base runners. You know, they need guys on base for him to be able to drive in and all of that. So, you know, I do think that's extremely important in this series. You're taking on a team that, you know, they can score runs and they can limit you in you scoring runs. And so you've got to take advantage of the opportunities. The one thing about the Royals that I will say is that even though the offense, we've seen them come alive more often than not over the last week or so, they still have had issues in getting runners across when they're in scoring position. They've not been able to fully capitalize on that as much as we would like. You go back to the first two games of the White Sox series where they weren't able to get a bunch of runs across. They squandered multiple opportunities. So you can't do that against a team like the Yankees when you've got runners in position to get runs on the board. You've got to be able to capitalize and drive them in. And even though I think there are some encouraging signs to the offense, even though you've got individual players like Vinny Pasquantino and others that are delivering and have absolutely turned things around, you cannot squander opportunities against a really good team like the Yankees. You've got to be able to capitalize and drive those runners in.
And of course, there's the revenge factor in this series too. We haven't even talked about from a year ago. Yankees knock out the Royals in the postseason. That was a series you felt like the Royals could win. Absolutely. And they didn't get it done, and the Yankees go on to play in the World Series. But like that, I'm curious to see how that sticks for some of these guys, because the Royals basically have everybody back from that team. Like, is that motivation? Is that added motivation for this group? How do they use that? How do they wear that? How do they embrace that as they come home? Like, they should be frothing at the mouth for this series. Like, forget these guys. This is who knocked us out a year ago. Let's go take it out on them.
It wasn't just that they got knocked out. If you remember, it wasn't just that they got knocked out. It was that it was a tense series. Like, the two teams didn't get along.
High drama.
Like, there was, you know, it got kind of, you know, chippy at times between those two teams in the ALCS last season. So they shouldn't like the Yankees. The Yankees shouldn't like them. I think people forget, because there are so many other major premier rivalries in Major League Baseball that, you know, this one gets overshadowed. Yankees Royals, it's got a long history going back 40 plus years with these two teams not liking each other, not getting along. I mean, even things like George Brett's pine tar incident, like, that was the Yankees. Like, there's history between these two teams that goes back a long time. Before any of these players on either one of these teams were even born, there's drama between these two organizations.
And it'll be, I hope that energy is captured tonight. I think it will be. I think it will be all week, quite frankly. This is an opportunity for the Royals. It's an opportunity for them to sort of right the ship of their season, which has been in very, you know, very choppy waters here over about the last calendar month. I just saw this. It's since May 9th. Yeah. Since May 9th, the Royals are 10-16. So we're looking at in a month, over the last month, they've gone 10-16. So now's the time, right? If this is, and look, I still think there's a chance this can be a streaky team. We just haven't seen enough of, like, we saw the one real scorching hot streak. It feels like they're primed for another one. And I think the way that we saw the offense play last week, the majority of the time, would lend itself to that. They got to be able to pitch better than they've pitched, though. and it'll have to start. And you're asking a lot of Noah Cameron. Like if we feel like a lot's been asked of Noah Cameron so far, for him to be the stabilizer, think about that for a second. Right now, if I had to say, give me two starters you want to go back-to-back days against one of baseball's best teams for the Royals, be Noah Cameron and Chris Bubich.
Totally, 100%.
What if I'd have told you that on March 10th? You just said I'm a lunatic.
Yeah, I do like the fact that that third game is Seth Lugo. I mean, if you're going to pick three guys to have a three-game right. set against one of baseball's best teams, at this point, you'd probably go Cameron, Bubich, and Lugo would be the three. And on that note, what's an appropriate expectation in this three-game set? Is it two of three?
I think when you're at home and you're the Royals and you're a playoff team, you should expect to win every series at home. Like, you should expect to win every series at home. Do they need to sweep them? Be great. No, but they need to expect to win the series. The Royals are still, I know they haven't been playing well, but there's, to me, on paper, there's still a roster that needs to be a playoff team. Like, if they, for whatever reason, and we haven't, and we'll get into this in the next hour, just how insane the American League is this year. But man, if they don't make the playoffs, it will, to me, it will be wildly disappointing. Wildly disappointing. Considering what they've put together, how aggressive they were at the deadline last year, what they did in the offseason, like, I think it would be a huge disappointment if this team doesn't reach the postseason. So when they're playing at home, I expect them to win every series they play at home. Right? I mean, is that unreasonable?
No, I mean, you just know who they're playing. I mean, you're playing a team that's 15 games over 500 with some of the best pitching in the league.
But you're playing them at home.
I know,
right?
If
we look at the end of the season, like, you've got to win these series. We'll get into that. We'll get into this American League. This American League is nuts. Folks, nuts. We'll do that when we return on Sports Day. All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you for another hour on the air. It is a great time of year. The weather's great, getting outside, baseball's in full swing, and we've got a team in the middle of a playoff hunt that we're following. More on that in just a second. Let's check in on our poll question here, Tommy, makeshift poll question. Who had the bigger impact on the game of golf, Tiger Woods or Happy Gilmore? Tiger Woods is winning, as we would all expect, I think, as we all agree, but I am curious to see how it skews. 80-20 right now, Tiger Woods.
Sounds
so
about
not
right
a big
to me.
Surprise. What's that?
It sounds about right to me.
I think so. I don't want to discount, as we went on a total off the rails about Happy Gilmore, because the second one's coming out soon. I really think that had a big impact on the game of golf, though, for a lot of people. Tiger Woods, transformed the sport. Tiger Woods is in a class of athletes. I mean, Michael Jordan's certainly there.
Muhammad Ali is up there.
That's the third one I always think of. Those are the three. Shohei, maybe by the time the dust settles,
I mean, probably.
Could be there.
I mean, I think you're gonna before that. It's got to be Babe Ruth. I mean, like, if you're talking about Mount Rushmore.
Just impactful, right? Not greatest, but like impactful to the game. Yes, I would agree with that. And I think, as we've seen all of this turn, all the great in baseball, you know, baseball has lost its place as what it means to American culture. Shohei has been the one to break through that for the first time, probably since Barry Bonds. I think everyone wanted Mike Trout to do that because while he was going and before his injury, like, Mike Trout, it was in the conversation for the greatest baseball player of all time. But it was never like we weren't latching on to it. Shohei, I think, changed that a little bit. But yeah, not to the level of the guys we're talking about. So that poll is up. You can vote on it. We'll have Felix Johnson coming in next segment. Let's do our golf giveaway as we're talking Happy Gilmore, talking a little golf. Let's give away. So here's what it is. It is a round of two. And you can win it at Crestview Country Club. We talk about Crestview a lot. They're a great supporter of this program. Tom and I are out there all the time. We appreciate everybody that is out there and listens to the show and heckles us about it all the time. And appreciate everybody who just loves golf and wants to get out, chance to play. So you can text right now for a chance to win golf 4-2 at Crestview Country Club. That'll include a cart. All you got to do is text the keyword golf. The number is 20357. So golf to 20357, that is 12, golf, the number 20357, One winner picked every Friday through June. One entry every 24 hours. Message and data rates apply. More details at kfhradio.com. Good luck, everybody. It's been a very popular contest. We have given away one set of this, and we will do it every Friday in the month of June. We will give that out, including when we're out there. Hey, yeah. We'll be out there live doing this show from the Wichita Open. Is that next week?
Next week, next Thursday and Friday. I've been driving by Crestview, and they're getting everything built for the Wichita Open and all the structures and grandstands and everything that they've got going up for the Open every single year. So it's in full swing. It's interesting. We've talked about it before. Like, typically the Wichita Open is this week. It's not. It is next week. They have pushed it back a week. So it's not Father's Day weekend. It's the weekend after this year. And so I've actually had a few people reach out like, hey, you going to the Open this week? I'm like, no, I'm not, because it's not this week. It is next week. So mark it on your calendar. And like you mentioned, we'll be doing Sports Daily Live both on Thursday and Friday of next week from the Wichita Open, 4 hours live.
Brandon and TJ
are going to be joining us out there. We're going to have a bunch of guests out there. Our friends at 3570 Golf Company are going to be joining us. We'll have the Wichita Open folks joining us out there. Several other people. In fact, we've got the new chairman of the Wichita Open board actually joining us tomorrow morning to preview the Open.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'll be curious. There are a lot of people who still don't realize that the tournament moved this year. It's hard. Like, when you have something on a set date every year forever, it gets hard to switch it. So that's happening. Our HTO, I'll be out there with HTO as well. We're like literally next to, I believe, the Odyssey.
Yeah.
So be handy, both logistically and it'll be fun too.
Yeah, last year we were set up in the fan zone, and it was a great location. A lot of people walked by and everything, but there was no shade, and it was hot. I'm excited about where we're going to be this year. We're going to be further
up. We'll be in the fan zone. They just moved the fan zone.
We'll be further up the fairway on 18.
Yeah, closer to 17 than 18.
There will be some trees out there for some shade. It shouldn't be bad. I'm excited about that.
And hey, I believe the Una Vida tequila folks will be also right next door. I don't know if they can make a screwdriver or a Bloody Mary or, you know, whatever people are hungry for.
You're going to have some cool fusions between HTO and Una Vida tequila? Will there be some?
I hope so.
Some drink
I hope
fusions
so. I'm not sure if I can officially endorse any of that, but I will just tell you that if you were to sample some of those things together, I've been told that it is delicious and a great concoction of flavors and everything else. We'll have like four different flavors out there for people. It'll be fun. It's going to be, I don't know what to expect. It might be a decision that I regret in the middle of it, but it'll be fun one way or the other. And we'll be out there having fun live for 4 hours for those 2 days, just like we did for the NCAA tournament. So we're looking forward to it. It'll be a good time. Come out, say hi, stop by. If you've got, I believe, do you know the answer to this, Tom? I believe if you've got like the tickets that get you onto 17, you also just are grandfathered into the fans.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. I don't quote me on that, but I believe that's the case.
If you're just walking and around, you got to like bump up your ticket level or something to come in and see us. And so we'll find that out tomorrow as we get you ready for the Open. Let's look at the Royals real quick, Tommy, from the scope of the American League, and we can get to this after Felix Johnson a little bit too. But the wild card race that the Royals find themselves in, like at this point, you can pretty much not worry about the AL Central. The Tigers don't appear to be cooling off. They are still baseball's best team right now, and the Royals are like 8.5 games back of them. Not particularly thinking about the Central. Wild card, though, very much in play. Royals are a game and a half in the wild card back. The issue with the wild card is there are 9 teams, Tommy, in the wild card hunt, very much in the wild card hunt, within 4.5 games. So essentially, you've got 12 out of 15 American League teams right now, 12 out of 15 that are legitimately in the hunt for a wild card. That's wild. What does it mean? It means almost every game you'll play down the stretch is against a playoff caliber team. Now, I don't think it will stay at 12 of 15 by the end of the season, but it's 12 of 15 right now. Like, are the Angels really going to stay in it? Probably not. But the Rangers are one of those teams there at the bottom that are like 4.5 back. And yeah, they're absolutely capable of staying in it. So I think this thing is going to stay tight like this pretty much all the way through. And, you know, that will make for a really interesting, like, we're going to look at all these series. And I know they had the White Sox last week and they'll have the A's this week. And those happen to be two of the teams that are not in the mix, two of the three. But every series, essentially the rest of the way, is going to be like positioning for playoff spot.
Yeah, to your point, according to FanGraphs, the Royals have a 4.1% chance to win the division as of today. That's not likely at this point. It's not a foregone conclusion that they're even a playoff team at this point. I mean, it's a 35% chance that they make the playoffs. So you've got to improve on that, and now is the time to do that. You mentioned how crazy the American League is. But the one positive thing I would say for the Royals is that the strength of schedule moving forward is kind of right in the middle. I mean, they've got a strength of schedule remaining right at 500 ball, the teams that they are remaining for the rest of the season as of today. It's not the best. I mean, you've got some teams that in the American League that are under 500 with their remaining strength of schedule. And there are some teams that are over 500 in their strength of schedule. So the Royals are right smack dab in the middle. It's not, in the whole scope of things, not an overwhelmingly difficult path the rest of the way. There are going to be some difficult stretches in there, like today and this week with the Yankees in town and everything. But you've got, again, good opportunities here to at least try to strengthen your case in the wild card. And you're going to have to do that because of the amount of competition in the American League that they're also going for wild card spots.
Every game, yeah, it might be a 500, but when every team is basically playing the same schedule because everybody's in the mix, right? Like everybody is right there. Basically, I think it adds to the intensity of each and every one of these games. And if the Royals can get on one of those heaters, and I'm not saying they need to win, what was it, 18 out of 20 again, but if they can just get on another heater, like they're, because almost every game you'll play is against playoff competition, like that will create massive separation. And so is it like, can you get on one of those and then avoid the disaster stretches? And just like, if you can get on one or two heaters the rest of the way and then just kind of hover around 500 in all the other games, you're probably going to get in at this point. But what you can't do anymore is go 10 and 16 over a 26 game stretch, which is what they've done over the last month. That can't happen again, or they'll fall out of this race. And that's the urgency of right now. We'll get more into that a little bit later. We'll table the Royals for a segment because up next, we're going to talk football. Felix Johnson is in. He's written about Chris Jones this week, written about Rashee Rice this week, and we'll look at some other NFL stories with Felix next on Sports Daily.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Glad to be back with you. Glad to have Felix Johnson in. Sun's out, guns out for Felix. It is summertime. I like it. We got to get you in on a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday.
Maybe. I'm down for it. I mean, let's do it. It's chest and arms day. It's Tuesday. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. A lot of people ask me about my chest and arm workouts, and I tell them it's proprietary. I can't divulge that information. Look, it's kind of a lull in the football season. You've written about a couple of things, Felix, for Arrowhead Addict and in some other places. We'll kind of take them one by one. This one's interesting. It's about Chris Jones as we're in this lull. You said he's not a Hall of Famer yet. I would say I think you're wrong. I think if he retired tomorrow, he's a Hall of Famer. But why do you think he still has more work to do?
It is kind of frustrating to say that. I mean, when I was coming up with formulating the article, just trying to figure out, like, why does this not make sense? Because I agree with you. If he retired tomorrow, I think he would be a Hall of Famer. But when you think about the barrier of entry for a lot of defensive tackles, Aaron Donald is a surefire Hall of Famer. Bob Lilly, like, there's a lot of guys from yesteryear that have really made it really, really hard for defensive tackles to make it through. Although Chris Jones has been fantastic, he wasn't Aaron Donald of his time, and that's unfortunate. But defensive tackles that you basically have to be Aaron Donald or John Randall of the Vikings back in the 90s. So you have to be that guy and up. And so that's where it's really hard. And there's, if you want to go to the defensive line as a whole, there's Reggie White and Bruce Smith, guys who have, 120 more sacks than Chris Jones has right now. And so, and I'm not saying that Chris Jones is too far off. The Chiefs are going to be contenders this year, whether they're in the AFC Championship game, in the Super Bowl, or winning the Super Bowl. Chris Jones is going to be a massive factor in that. And so he has all of this room to grow still, even as a great player and as dominant as he has been throughout his career so far. And he hasn't brought in a defensive player of the year. That would be one thing that would cement his case even further than what he's done already. And he has a great case in that. I might be wrong, but just there are certain metrics that you can look at with Chris Jones and say, he might not be there just because there are other players at his position that were better over history.
Let's talk Rashee Rice a little bit. Felix, you wrote on Arrowhead Attic earlier this week about what Rashee Rice can do, his return for the Chiefs. And you know, I think that there are some folks that, and I'm probably in this camp a little bit, where I want to be, you know, I want to temper my expectations a little bit. Not that I don't think he can be dominant, but also he's coming back from a rough injury and all of that. But your article suggests that he could be the spark that Kansas City really needs offensively.
Well, and it's we've talked about it a couple of times with just Kansas City being more healthy than they were last year. Hopefully, I mean, it's football. Things are going to happen. But obviously, you don't want your number one receiver going down with an ACL in week four. You don't want your number two receiver and one of your biggest offseason acquisitions in Marquise Hollywood Brown going down in the first play of the preseason. Pacheco going down for like 10 weeks or whatever it was through the middle chunk of the season. So these are injuries that hopefully can be not avoided, but even if they do occur, it's a sprained ankle that lasts 2 or 3 weeks instead of Pacheco out for 10 weeks or Rashee Rice sprains his knee. Knock on wood, hopefully this stuff doesn't happen, but at the same time, hopefully they're just healthier than what they were last year just because it's a new year. And then you have Rashee Rice's suspension case and what may happen with that. There hasn't been a ton of movement there, but if the rehab was taking longer and he was suspended for the first 4 or 6 weeks of the season, maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world because he couldn't be on the field at all as a player anyway. So it's kind of a weird situation, but until we get news on the suspension one way or another, we can't really judge it.
Yeah, it's interesting, but if you try to look that up, we talked about this last week, like if you try to get caught up on where that legal situation is, it's like it's disappeared. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying it has. I'm just saying like there is nothing definitive in the criminal portion of this. And if the NFL really is waiting, which it appears that they are, on the criminal proceedings to play out in this, I don't know when that's going to happen. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen this season.
Well, and I think with the kind of on a bird's eye point of view for the NFL as a whole, if we remember 8-10 years ago with a bunch of different situations where players got into stuff off the field, it felt like the league may have either moved fast or it was just they needed to move fast, whether it was the Ray Rice situation or Greg Hardy. There was plenty of situations where they absolutely needed to move fast. But then at the same time, I think that Roger Goodell and kind of this face turn, to use a wrestling term that he's kind of experienced over the last 5 years, I guess you could say it's post-COVID, he's kind of not been lenient, but not been as active, I guess. And like different things, like certain situations haven't needed as effective of movement as we've seen in the past. But I feel like we could have seen a suspension that could have got extended, moved down, whatever the case may have been, once we do get a criminal ruling moved down, just so that there can be peace of mind for Chiefs fans in case we get up to 2 weeks before the season and like a ruling gets put down and then he's suspended for the first 6 weeks of the season. We were expecting to have a healthy Rashee Rice to start the year. So there's a lot of different things that can go down, but we haven't seen this stuff happen in the last like 5 years. And so I'm not expecting Roger Goodell to move as actively as he has in the past.
I got to ask you about the Bengals for a second. Jermaine Pratt, they released him yesterday. He was one of the top defenders on the team a season ago. Trey Hendrickson, the reports this morning, he's not attending mandatory minicamp as he's holding out for a new contract. How bad is this defense going to be for the Bengals this year?
It's kind of interesting. Now, from everything you said, like I understand why we're coming down with like this defense is going to be terrible because they fired Lou Anarumo. They were bad last year. They've devoted all of their money to offense, which rightfully so when you have guys like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and feel how you want to feel about T. Higgins, they paid him already. I think it can be interesting where we've seen like even going, and I know this is two very different sides of the spectrum, but Kansas City's defense just a couple years ago wasn't that good. One draft kind of changed it. And I'm not saying this Cincinnati draft will change it, but one year, one system, one thing can spark this defense, and then things just start rolling because defense is so much about momentum, how guys are playing together. Maybe. But on paper, it's probably going to be really bad. And Cincinnati, just from a structural standpoint, is saying, defense, we do not care about you. We're not even going to help you out because we can't. And so that's what's frustrating. And I think that's why you kind of have to make tough decisions with a guy like T. Higgins. You got to let him walk or trade him or whatever the case may be, especially. And I think some more news that came out this week may hurt the Bengals in hindsight. Like if Terry McLaurin, let's say he gets moved, let's say, I'm not saying that he will, he's probably worth getting the extension in Washington, but Terry McLaurin moves, T. Higgins was probably worth what Terry McLaurin was on the market too. What could you have gotten for that and drafted a better defense or moved it around and had more room for Trey Hendrickson, whatever the case may have been. So Cincinnati's really handcuffed themselves by not being as flexible with their offense and just saying defense will figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say it can't be worse, right, than it was a year ago, because it was about as bad as it can be, no matter
and
what.
They still almost made the playoffs. So, I mean, that's where they are as a franchise. Like, I mean, how many years were the Colts defenses with Peyton Manning not great, but then they had Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney to figure it out on the edges, and teams had to pass. And so I think that's what they're trying to do, but you have to have Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and, like, legit Hall of Famers.
I think they do. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow are going to be.
You better hope. I mean, you better hope. Like, I mean, yeah. I hope these guys are really, really good, and they are. But like, these are all time greats right. We're talking about. So,
yeah, no, I feel you. Speaking of quarterbacks, I saw this today, but I think it came yesterday. Apparently, and we've wondered about this. There was various reporting that Aaron Rodgers was not the first choice of the Steelers. He, of course, now has signed with the Steelers, but it was. Adam Schefter reported on Friday that he was actually the third option, and the first option was Matt Stafford. It feels like a lifetime ago that there was the Matt Stafford talk happening, and I couldn't figure out why on earth it was happening, as the Rams are right there in the NFC. I mean, they are with that emerging defense. But that didn't happen. And then the report says that the second choice was to keep Justin Fields, and then he chose to go to the Jets. Mm-hmm. But if both of those things are true, that still means they could have done something in the draft. So Aaron Rodgers was your preference, I guess, then over drafting a quarterback when they were in position to draft a quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's man, that's still crazy. Maybe it softens the blow of like their plan and he was plan C, but really, like, not even like, I don't know, man. I just, it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
I'm not saying that Adam Schefter is false reporting, because he's obviously the best in the game. I think the Steelers are lying to him by saying, like, oh, no, yeah, we had other plans. We had other – like, Aaron Rodgers was not our plan A. Obviously, he was, or else he would not have extended this situation this long. After the draft, like, obviously you wanted him before the draft, but things weren't going to work out because of the incentives, and Aaron might have wanted to go other places. And so it's just kind of a weird situation where I think the Steelers were going to go 8-9, 9-8, no matter who their quarterback was. Whether it was going to be Matt Stafford, would have been a new situation, just figuring it out, cross the country, whatever, figure that out. And then it would have been, if Justin Fields would have been their quarterback, it would have been a lot similar to what they did this last year. Now with Aaron Rodgers, they're getting a 40-something-year-old quarterback who's going to be okay with a really good defense. So it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's the end of Ben Roethlisberger. It's what it is. And so the Steelers are just, being that they're the Steelers, they feel like they're a better-run organization, but they're not. And that's what's kind of weird about it. Like, Mike Tomlin is a good coach. I'm not sure if they're run well as an organization.
Well, yeah, and with the Steelers as well, it just got the reporting today that T.J. Watt is not going to be attending mandatory minicamp as well, as he's holding out for a new contract. So, I mean, you've got a lot of premier players that are saying right now, hey, we're not going to go to minicamp unless we get a new contract. Talked about Hendrickson, T.J. Watt's on that list. Terry McLaurin is holding out, as you mentioned. There, Micah Parsons has had, you know, conversations and that sort of thing. Do you anticipate we'll see quite a few players that are, you know, not going to be participating in their respective minicamps?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's interesting, especially with the edge rusher position. We've talked about it over the last couple months, where, like, George Karloftis kind of falls into the category of there's about 35 to 40 defensive ends in the league that can get you about 10 sacks. Now, if you're T.J. Watt, and we saw Miles Garrett's situation go down, Micah Parsons' situation is happening. It'll probably happen for the next year or so because it's the Cowboys. But these guys are the top of the top of the top. And these are actual game effectors. And so I think that they have a different value than what a George Karloftis or a Josh Sweat, who got a really good deal from the, he went from the Eagles to the Cardinals. So I think that to use a term from one of the greatest television shows of all time, The Wire, the price of the brick is going up. I mean, it's just what it is. Whenever guys start getting paid, that's just what's going to happen.
What would you give up for TJ Watt right now? Say you're the Chiefs. Say you're Brett Beach. What would you give up for TJ Watt? He's on the last year of a deal, so you know it's going to have to come with a fat payday.
He
is one of those dudes, like the true game wreckers in this league.
I'd give him two starters and a first round pick.
Yeah, I would too. Knowing that you also have to pay him.
Yeah, I mean, but he's TJ Watt, and hopefully he's going to continue being TJ Watt. But I mean, it's not likely that the Chiefs do that just because they've devoted a lot of their resources from the draft over the last year and year or two to their defensive side of the ball. And I mean, dang it, now you've got my mind turning. I don't know.
Would you mortgage the, like, would you mortgage the ability to basically extend or re-sign McDuffie, Karloftis, maybe Trey Smith, at least one, probably two, if not all three of those guys to do something like that? Like, would that be?
I think that particularly with Trent McDuffie, he offers your defense so much flexibility on the back end too, because he can play on the outside and in the slot. And so I want to have the opportunity to extend him. And I think he's a Chief for life, or at least for the foreseeable future. So that's where if that was like the crossroads where we can't get through, no, we can't figure we're just not going to figure that out. But if we can give up George Karloftis, Nick Bolton, like I'm legit starters. Like I know as frustrating as unfortunate as it sounds for some Chiefs fans, but getting TJ Watt in return, if that would happen, but
I don't know. And would the Steelers even be inclined to do it? I don't know, but I think Trent McDuffie is the guy to extend all that too. But mm-hmm. I also thought the same thing about L'Jarius Sneed, and they've been fine because they're really good. They're really good at drafting defensive backs.
I think you're right, but who's been the best of them?
I agree. He'd be my pick. I'd take him over Karloftis. I'd take him over mm-hmm. everybody. But I'm just saying, like, for a guy like TJ Watt, if he comes on the market, every team in football should be on the phone.
You're right.
With the Steelers. And if you're the Steelers, and I know you just signed Aaron Rodgers and you're trying to justify that decision, but if TJ Watt doesn't want to be there and you can put him on the market, I mean, come on. Like, was Aaron Rodgers really your third choice? Because if he was, you need to be look in the mirror and say, we went in a Super Bowl this year. And if the answer to that is no, then if there are teams beating down the door to trade for TJ Watt and he's unhappy already anyway, why mm-hmm. wouldn't you do it? Right? Exactly. Like, you got if we're having a real conversation about the Steelers, I don't know.
It is interesting. It is interesting.
Yeah, he's that dude. He is that kind of player. Like, it's him and Myles Garrett for me, even ahead of Micah Parsons, as far as edge rushing, game wrecking, whatever type players. But, you know, well, something to ponder. Felix, what do you got cooking for us this week on Airhead Addict and your other various outlets?
Quick note, I didn't get the chance to listen to you guys earlier, but you were asking who had a bigger impact on the game of golf. Happy Gilmore, Tiger Woods. I don't watch golf, but I do watch a lot of movies, and I do happen to spend a lot of my time with comedians. Happy Gilmore is not a good movie. It's just this is one of those things.
Hey, you're just gonna slide that in when we have a couple of minutes left here.
Yeah. I think that's my message to the world. Happy Gilmore, not that good.
Boy, I don't even know.
I mean, those are fighting words right there.
Yeah, I don't even know. That's like Bob Barker.
I'll drop my address in the comments because I'll fight to the death over it. It's just not.
The price is wrong.
Wrong. This feels like you're just trying to be too smart here, Felix. Like, sometimes you got to just sit back and enjoy the brilliance of an old school Adam Sandler movie.
I tried. I turned my brain.
You probably don't like Tommy Boy or Black Sheep or any of those great movies of a generation.
Are you a Billy Madison fan? Can you say Billy Madison at least?
What's that?
Can you, do you like Billy Madison at least? Is that no?
I'm not a Sandler.
Okay. Guy. I mean, they're the same like, movie,
pretty much.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Like,
I'm just not.
Do you like any of the great movies of that generation?
I like SNL from that era, so I think that's kind of what I enjoy. But I'm kind of a underground comedy guy, so it's just like cut it out with your silliness.
You know, I like to say that that nothing offends me. I think I might be offended by what Felix just left us with there. I just that might have offended me.
That was rough. I mean, that was kind of like a bomb that he just like set off right at the very end. He like tossed a grenade at the very end of the segment there.
Just wildly offensive. I can't believe it. Happy Gilmore's not good. You don't have to think it's the best, but you can't be. Is it one of those movies that if you're not of the generation, like if I showed that to a 20-year-old now that had never heard of Happy Gilmore, would they even like it? Or maybe even better, like a 15-year-old now. I need to test that experiment, but come on. And A Serious Man featuring the star-studded cast of Michael Stolberg and Aaron Wolf.
I'm sure it's a great movie.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's wonderful.
Yeah. I've never seen it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the Coen brothers.
I've never heard of it. The Coen brothers did what? They did Fargo. Is that the Fargo guys?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Fargo. I'm not sure that I would lean into them.
He was
as great.
Howard
comedy.
From Big Bang's in it.
Oh, is he really?
Yep.
I didn't see him on the listed cast here.
Simon Helberg.
Have you seen that movie? Oh, there he is. Yeah. Have you seen that movie?
No, I just looked it up.
Yeah. I don't know. Have you heard? Has anybody heard of this movie that is so good?
I like Richard Kind. He's in the movie. He's been in a bunch of different things.
Yeah,
I
do
like him.
I saw him.
Yeah.
But he's like listed fourth or fifth. So.
Yeah.
What's the? Yeah, come on.
I'll find it.
Felix
click.
Would probably tell me. Hey, we got it. We got to remind. Hold me to task on this. That we bring this back up next week.
By the way, it's. I know how much you love critics. It's got a 90% critic approval rate on Rotten Tomatoes.
What do the people say?
I don't know.
What do the people say? That's all I care about. Let's see if I can find the. He'd probably tell me that Licorice Pizza is an all time classic.
Roger Ebert gave it 4 out of 4 stars.
I don't care what Roger Ebert thinks. The people gave it a 68.
He's not alive anymore.
A 68. Let's see what they gave. Let's see what the people gave Happy Gilmore. 68 for that. Yeah, 85. Boom. Yeah, get out of here with that. The critics, and the critics gave Happy Gilmore. So you can flip flop them. The critics gave Happy Gilmore a 63. And the people gave it an 85, the exact opposite of this other movie. Like, get out of here. But I'm with the people. I'm a man of the people, not a movie critic.
Now, there,
I have nothing in common with a movie critic.
I'm not going to knock A Serious Man because it is the Coen brothers. And obviously they did Fargo. But I mean, The Big Lebowski is phenomenal. Like, that's one of my favorite movies of all
time.
They
do Big Lebowski.
They did
do
Big
Lebowski. One of my favorites, too.
So, like, that's them, too. And I would imagine I would really like A Serious Man because they did Fargo, The Big Lebowski, Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Like the Coen brothers movies are phenomenal.
I know they did Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou, too. Yeah. So they know comedy. I'm not discounting this other movie. I've never heard of it. The Big Lebowski is one of my all-time favorite movies, by the way. So, yeah, it's probably fine. But you don't need to drag Happy Gilmore on the way. No need for that. No need for that. We'll discuss in detail next week.
I don't
know.
I just watched the trailer, boys, and...
Yeah? No?
Not good.
If the trailer doesn't grab you, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's for me. I mean, I'm definitely like, you're going to have to catch me early. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I'm not... Like, I've literally never heard of it. But that's no offense to that movie. It's just, I think I'm slightly, sensitive to the Happy Gilmore slander. Maybe I can get offended. You knock like 90s comedy and I think it offends me. I think I've just found something that offended me. All right. Let's get into the Royals. We'll finish kind of our conversation that we started about where this is in the American League right now. The Royals begin this series against the Yankees, huge series, but honestly, like, is it any bigger or less big than 90% of the series that they'll play the rest of the way? That's what's so wild right now in the American League. And I haven't paid as close of attention to the National League because the teams that I follow are in the American League. But when you look at the rest of the schedule for the Royals, Tommy, like they're all this way. Like every game is this way. You know what I mean? Like they're all big series, essentially, unless you happen to be playing like the A's, the White Sox, or the Orioles at this point, which is still, I can't believe that, by the way, that the Orioles have stayed this bad, but they have. But they're all going to be this when we look at the rest of it. Just look at the next handful of series. You've got after the A's, so we'll clear the A's. You got the Rangers, the Padres, the Rays, the Dodgers, the Mariners, the Diamondbacks. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight series that they'll play against playoff caliber teams. Some of those really good teams, by the way, before they get a break against the Pirates and then the Mets. And then, so you can look at that stretch. They'll play 6 against the Pirates and Marlins within like a 9-game stretch. That, I mean, that's pretty much it.
And that's when? Is that like early July when they do that?
What's that?
Is that early July when they have that stretch with the Pirates and Marlins?
Early July, so, you know, early to mid-July, right after the holiday. It's just like there's never going to be a point where there's not a long – that's the closest thing probably of a long stretch of like, okay, catch your breath. You're playing some bad teams.
Do they go right into the All-Star break after that? So, like, you've got – kind of let off
and the trade deadline, maybe more importantly.
Yeah, for sure. So yep. you can kind of catch your breath. So that's kind of where you look ahead. Like if you want to look ahead, it's a really, really tough stretch. And then you've got Pirates and Marlins right after 4th of July going into the All-Star break. And then you can kind of have an idea on the trade deadline. I mean, that's where I'm kind of looking ahead as far as taking this season into chunks. It's this chunk right now, and then it's those games right before the deadline.
The National League, I just checked. It depends on what you think about your Braves and whether they cooked. Are in it or not. They're nine games back in the wild card.
They're washed. They're cooked.
So, like, they're really and it's across baseball. There are a couple more bad teams, so maybe it's 5 instead of 3 like it is in the American League. But it's just there's not a lot of relief. There were a lot of years in the unbalanced schedule and when the division was bad that the Royals should have been able to take advantage of playing a lot of bad teams. That's not the case.
There were a lot of cases when the Royals were the bad team. Like that's they right. were the ones that were Correct. Getting beat up on.
Right. But I'm saying if you even just like transported the schedule itself, like there were years where the Tigers weren't any good. The White Sox weren't any good. The Royals weren't any good. But we'll, like even then the Twins were okay. And, you know, Cleveland was good. Now everybody in the division's good. Basically everybody in the league is at least quality. So we're going to see like the Royals won't have that. So all of these series are big because you're by winning games, knocking somebody else that you're probably chasing or right there with in there. The Yankees actually is not one of those series, right? Like the Yankees wouldn't even qualify. The Yankees are out way ahead. So, you know, do you hold your own against them? I don't know. I still think the expectation anytime the Royals are at home is should be to win the series. Like they can't go into this and be like, man, I hope they take 1 of 3. No, they like you got to go in and you got to expect to beat this team. You got to expect to beat any team when you're at home if you're the Royals and you truly believe what we started the season at, and I still do, that this is one of the better teams in baseball. On paper, I still think they are. Even with the bullpen injuries and deficiencies that we've seen, even with the starting rotation not being what it was a year ago, I still feel like they should be.
They absolutely should be. They've got the pitching, as we all know. They've got the pitching to be able to, you know, make a run for sure. And even if they don't, and they haven't been, even if they don't pitch it the way that they, the level, the caliber that they did at the very beginning of the season, and they come back down to earth, and in some cases they have, I still think, generally speaking, they've got an overall pitching staff to be able to carry them. They've needed guys like Noah Cameron, obviously, and Chris Bubich and, you know, others to step up. They've got to get Lucas Ursig back sooner rather than later to anchor that bullpen. Hopefully he's good and healthy when he does come back. It sounds like he's going to be making a rehab appearance, or maybe he already has, this week, at least to be able to work his way back to the bigs. That will hopefully help stabilize the bullpen a little bit. You know, they've got the pitching to carry them. And then if the offense can sort of continue to ascend, which we've seen lately, at that point that they're nowhere near being out of this for sure. But it does remind us that again, with the parity in this league, every single series is going to be incredibly difficult.
Yeah, it is. And the Royals are capable of winning any game that they play. What do they have to do between now and then? What do you, because I feel like I get this sense that the offense is about to turn it around consistently. Do you feel that same way, or do you think that's still going to be a struggle? I don't think that's going to be the struggle we're going to be talking about down the stretch here. I think the struggle we're going to be talking about down the stretch is whether the starting rotation can hold up. It's not that way yet. We're not there yet. I just kind of get this sense that that's where we're headed.
I'm not ready to say that yet. I still want to see the offense consistently turn a corner. They've done it at times in the last week. They've been able to put up more runs than, you know, we've expected of them as of late, which is a positive. And that's a nice development we've seen. But consistently, I mean, I need to see it over the stretch of a few weeks. And again, it starts tonight. It starts this week. And you're taking on, again, and Max Fried. I know Max Fried extremely well. He is somebody that, like, think about Salvi, for instance. Think about Jack Caglione, for instance. Those two guys, even Vinny Pasquantino to an extent, they chase pitches. That's kind of what they do. And Max Fried can absolutely fool you. He's got an arsenal of stuff. And so for somebody like Salvi that at least recently has chased a lot more than what we would like him to, you've got to be patient. I want to see the Royals continue to get better at exercising plate discipline. And it's going to start tonight when you're taking on a guy like Max Fried.
Yeah, and it's difficult too. Like as we evaluate the offense, you know, if they come into this Yankees series and Fried does what he's been doing and fools them and holds them down, but then they are good in the other two games against two pitchers who are okay, right? But not anything like what Fried has done this year. Does that give it to me? That still indicates a resurgence of this offense. We'll see. I mean, you can beat Max Fried. You got Cameron on the mound. Cameron's been just as good. I mean, that's what's crazy. It's crazy to say that out loud. He's been just as good now over a stretch of, what are we at, six games, six starts, I think?
Yeah, six or seven.
You know, embrace that. The other thing about the Royals offense, if it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, is when you come into a game against a guy like this, there is so much speed on this team that maybe you can, you know, be disruptive that way a little bit against a guy if you get any opportunities to do it. I don't know. I do know this. I'm as excited about this series for the Royals as probably any this year. That has something to do with Caglione's home debut for sure. It has something to do with the revenge factor of a year ago in the postseason. It has something to do with the fact that the Yankees are back. And when the Yankees are good, they're the most fun team to hate. Sorry, Dodgers, no offense, but the Yankees are more fun to hate than the Dodgers are, to me, in my opinion.
And how fascinating is this matchup going to be tonight between Max Fried and Jack Caglione? I mean, you've got in your home debut when you're Cags, you've had six games under your belt in a big league uniform, and you're going up against a guy that is the front runner for the AL Cy Young.
Chris Kubichap.
It's a huge, huge matchup tonight that I'm really excited for.
Go help your boy Chris Kubichap. All right, that'll do it for Sports Daily here. You can still vote on the poll. I think those go forever. Bigger impact on the game of golf, Happy Gilmore or Tiger Woods? You can guess which way that's going, but I am curious for people's thoughts. I think you can comment on that as well. We got Royals baseball tonight against the Yankees. Doesn't get much better than that in early June. That'll be 6:30 pregame coverage for you right here on KFH. It will be that typical 6:40-ish start time for the Royals in that game against the Yankees. We'll be back here tomorrow to dig into it. We should have Shreyas Lada in tomorrow as well. We'll get his take on what's happening with the NCAA. What are the rumblings he's hearing about from administrators and coaches on everything that's happened? But that'll be a good Wednesday edition. Tommy, enjoy the Wednesday.
Yeah, we're also going to be talking to Troy Jordan tomorrow. He's the new chairman of the board for the Wichita Open. He'll join us at 7:35.
And he can answer our question, Happy Gilmore, Tiger Woods. All right, we'll have all that for you tomorrow. For Tommy, for Max, thanks to Felix Johnson for being here. Go back and listen on the Odyssey app. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you. Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.